when I sat at the water's edge at Pearl Harbor, where our home was located, and I contemplated the unthinkable, and that was to take a dagger that had been given to me by a Russian naval officer the previous November and go inside and take the life of my then 13-year-old daughter, my wife, and my own. How is it possible an individual formerly at the top of his game was now in the bowels of this great abyss?
That was Scott Waddle, former commander of a naval submarine, and he'll be sharing his testimony in just a few minutes. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. In the Bible, God spoke to people in a lot of different ways, through visions, dreams, through the prophets. One time he even spoke to a guy through a donkey. If he'd had a cell phone back then, maybe he would have sent the guy a text message. The point is, God wants to speak to us, but sometimes we're in a bad reception area. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us how we can get a few more of those little bars on our spiritual cell phone. Here he is with a message entitled, Can You Hear Me Now?
You know, one of my favorite stories is in Matthew 21. And Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And there's some chief priests and Pharisees, they're kind of leaning back, skeptical, a bit critical. They're looking at him and he's teaching. They're getting a little envious. So they say to one another, who does he think he is? I don't know. Where does he get this authority to talk like that? Ask him. Okay, let's go ask him. So they walk right up. Excuse me, Jesus. Yes? Tell him. We want to know who you think you are. Where are you getting this authority to speak like that? And then Jesus pushes back on them and he gives them a counter question. He says this, well, let me ask you a question. And if you answer my question, I'll answer yours. Deal. Okay. All right. Here's the question, Jesus says. John the Baptist. Remember him?
Yeah. We know him.
The guy that baptizes people and walks around with leather coat and eats grasshoppers. Yeah, that's the one. Now, his ministry and assignment, was that God-given or did he just kind of make that up? Was it man-made? Was it something that God spoke to him to do or did he just kind of make it up?
Well, come on, let's talk about it. So they get in a huddle and they start talking. Well, what should we answer? Well, if we say that it's God-given, then he's going to say, then why didn't you obey him? Yeah, we didn't obey him. No, we don't want to obey him. No way. He's weird. Yeah, so we can't say that it's God-given. No. Okay, so the other one was it man-made. Yeah, what do you think? Oh, there's people around here that hold him to be a prophet. We can't say it's like made up because that's politically incorrect. They won't like it. They won't vote us back in. Okay, all right, so we can't say no. Well, what are we going to say?
I don't know.
That's what we'll say.
What?
Tell them we don't know.
Okay.
All right.
What's the answer?
Tell them.
I don't know.
That's exactly what the Bible says. Let's read it. You'll see. All right, let's read it. Go. So they finally replied, we don't know. I told you, I don't make this stuff up. And let's listen to what Jesus said. Go. And Jesus responded, then I won't answer your question either. You see, in their hearts, they knew it was a God thing. They knew that John the Baptist's ministry was given by God. And this is what Jesus was saying. Hey, listen, in other words, he's saying this. If you cannot be accountable to the truths you already know, why should I reveal truths to you that you don't yet know? You won't be accountable to that either. And he's saying, if you want to know what I will say, you must first be willing to obey what I have already said. You understand? So hearing God is real important and heeding what he's saying because it's a key to future instructions. Because if I don't listen to what he's already said, why should he reveal more? Because I ain't going to do anything with that either. Now this might seem kind of dumb to you, but this actually happened. I wanted God to show up to me so bad. So badly that I left Hilo, caught a plane over here some years ago. I rented a car and drove to this lonely, isolated point in Kahena Point. And I was going to stay up all night and wait for God to show up and talk to me. I don't care. It could be an angel, could be a couple angels, but I needed to hear from. You can walk on the water. You can come out of a coconut. I don't care, but I need to hear you. So I put a little pup tent up, got a cup of coffee, and I waited. I sat on the sand and waited. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, got dark. And I started walking, just pacing the sand. Come on, Lord, where are you going to come? I was looking around a tree. Oh, and I just paced. Pace back and forth, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock. Lord, I said, come on. I need to know what to do. I've been waiting for you all night. You got to show up. I walked again, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock. Finally, 7 o'clock, nothing. I said, God, I need to know what to do. I was so discouraged. I got in the car, packed all my stuff up. I said, that's it. God, I don't know what to do. You haven't even talked to me. And just before I put the key in the ignition, it's like the Lord spoke to me. Now, God can reveal stuff to you like a ream of information in a nanosecond, just that fast. It's like just, whoo, oh, wow. Isn't that right? That's how God speaks. He's just, boom, got it. And it was like you just sat under a term of lectures and you got it. And just as I put the key in the ignition, it's like the Lord said to me, I already told you what to do. Why are you waiting for me to tell you? I already told you. Your problem is you haven't heeded anything that I've told you. I've asked you to be a husband and be the best that you can be to your wife. I've asked you to be a father to raise your children the way I've asked you to raise them. I asked you to pastor a church called New Hope Christian Fellowship. I will send the most precious people to you. And they deserve to be served and led well. And I've asked you to do that. I've asked you to do those things. And you're here asking me, what do you want me to do? I've already told you. You don't have an ear problem. You have feet problems. You are not following through with what I've asked you to do. So why should I reveal more to you when you haven't done what I've asked you to do? You don't have earwax. You have toe jams. And then I understood. You see, if we are not accountable to the truths he's already given to you, even if it's a little truth, why should he reveal more? Because we won't do anything with that either. You say, all right, well, Wayne, where do we start? Where do we start? What has God revealed to us? Let me rewind it all the way back to the cross. Would you write in your notes, it begins with how I respond to the cross. It begins with how I respond to the cross. You see, someone once said it this way. They said, Wayne, life is sort of like a game of chess with just two moves. And God made his move 2,000 years ago on the cross, where he came to repair that broken relationship and span it with the cross. The next move is yours. God made his move. The next move is yours. What are you going to do with what he has done? You see, sometimes we think a relationship with God is spelled D-O. What do I have to do? And it's not true. A relationship with God is spelled D-O-N-E. It's not what we do. It's what he's already done. Now, how are you going to respond to that? You say, but I want to hear God. Mm-hmm. How do I develop my ears? Well, we're going to talk about that. But until then, let me give you an assurance and let me give you a confidence, and that is this. Even though I'm still learning to hear God, and I'll hear him better and better as the years go by, let me tell you one thing you can know for sure right now. You might not be able to hear him always when he speaks to you, but he hears you every single time you cry out to him. See, until I can hear him, I have the confidence that he hears me. He hears me. I can't hear God. Talk to him. He hears you. He hears you, sister, when no one else heard you and you were crying in the darkness. That wife, in your point of desperation and you cried, God saw and heard you. In fact, the Bible says that he even keeps your tears in a bottle, which means every tear that you cried is precious to the one who loves you the most. Brother, when your marriage went bad, and you struggled because you felt like a loser and you felt valueless and you had no direction, I want you to know that when you cried out to God, God heard you. Young lady, when you thought no one would love me, I don't look like all of these models in the magazines. I am a nobody. Oh God, what do you have for me? I want you to know that God heard you and God loves you and he's got a wonderful future for you. And he's going to speak to you to cooperate with him because the Bible says, I know the plans, he says in Jeremiah 29. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity. It's for your welfare in order that you might have a future and a hope. He has a future and a hope for every single one of you. If he didn't, he wouldn't have created you. Because the Bible says God created us in his image. He has imagined your future already. Well, what steers us wrong? Sin. When I reject God's ways and it separates me from God, and apart from him, we can do nothing. Well, how do I get back on the track? That's what the cross is all about, to give us a way back through forgiveness, not through works, not through deeds, not through penance. It's through forgiveness and God's mercy that was delivered to us on the cross. And the invitation has been given. God says, I have done my part. Now yours is, what will you do with the cross? Will you reject it or will you open your heart to receive him? You see, God is a gentleman. And he'll never force truth down your throat, but he'll make it available. But I feel so far from God. Even though you are 1,000 steps away from God, please know that he has taken every step towards you, 999, and he leaves one left for you. To simply say, Lord, I accept what you've done on the cross for my sake and my sin, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I want to hear you and be connected to you. God stills heaven at moments like this so that his children can reply to his voice called the cross. And God says, I have heard you. I have heard you cry. In fact, let's read the scripture and you'll see what I mean. Let's read it. Go. God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you. When? Right now. When? Today is the day of salvation. God has brought you here because of his love for you. And even though you may not be able to hear him or see him yet, he hears and he sees you. And that's where you begin. That may make the difference in your future. The story is told of a fireman who got a call, and he was one of the crewmen, and he was on the truck listening to the instructions coming to the driver about the destination of where the fire was, and lo and behold, he realized that it was his own home. They pull up in front of his house, and of course, you could sense the emotional, distraught feelings that he would be going through when he sees his house engulfed in smoke because he was thinking about his 5-year-old daughter. He ran to the front yard and there she was on the balcony. And he said, honey, jump! And smoke was billowing around. She couldn't see anything, coughing. She says, I can't see anything. He said, don't worry, just jump. I will catch you. I promise. She said, I'm scared. He said, jump. I will catch you. She said, I can't. I can't see you. And her dad said, honey, even though you can't see me, I can see you. I will catch you. And see, until we are able to see and hear God, please know he sees and he hears you. And he's here, the Bible says, to help you because today is a day of your salvation. Where does it begin? With the cross. How do we get connected? Through Jesus Christ and receiving the forgiveness that he offers from the cross. If you've never received Jesus Christ before as your Lord and Savior, today is a day of salvation. Today, God says, I am helping you. I have heard you today. And today, he will begin. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your life, bar none. The decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When I did that, it changed my life completely. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I have only one regret. I wish I would have done it sooner. Some years ago, in 2001, in February, a fateful day, and you've read about it in the newspapers, where a nuclear attack submarine, as it breached the waters
accidentally ran into the Ihemimaru. That boat sank and 9 people were killed. We hear about it in the paper. We hear about the tragedy. We hear about the feeling of loss from the parents in Japan. Obviously, it was a horrendous loss. And all of Hawaii felt for the people that lost loved ones. We heard about the court of inquiry and possible court-martial imprisonment for the one who was responsible, the commander of the USS Greenville. But what you don't hear behind the scenes is the emotional struggle, the depth of darkness that this one had to go through. What happened to his life? What happened to him? How did he survive? Did he survive? Did he go down with the Ihemimaru? Did he sink? What happened to him? Well, we called him and asked retired commander Scott Waddle to come and share with you what kept him afloat when he too was about to go down. Would you please welcome with me retired commander Scott Waddle as he comes to share.
Well, good morning and aloha. It's an honor to be here to share this testimony with the members of this great state, the community, and certainly this church. It was difficult for me a few months ago when the invitation was extended for me to accept the offer. Why? Because coming back to Hawaii, although it's been 4 years, it's still painful when I relive those memories, the memories of that fateful day, February 9th of 2001, when my submarine went to sea with 16 civilian guests and we performed an emergency surface underneath the Ihemimaru, causing the death of 9 individuals, 4 teenagers, 2 instructors, and 3 crew members. There were several dark periods in the aftermath of that accident. The darkest certainly was that February 9th, after I had learned that 9 people were dead. Sitting alone in the darkness of my stateroom, I asked God, why did this have to happen to me? Why me, God? I was at the top of my career, the pinnacle of my career, the top of my game, one of the top-ranked Pacific Fleet captains. My crew was reveled and revered for what we had done. And suddenly we were cast out of favor. And then I remembered, Scott, it's not about you, but it's about the 9 families that are lost. Think about them. As the submarine returned to port the next morning, I went home. I was fired. I knew that my career was over. I called my father and I asked my dad, why did God allow this to happen, Dad? Why did he let this happen? And he said, son, God didn't build the ship. God didn't build the submarine. And when 9 people died, God wept. Parents are wonderful for not only words of inspiration, but words of compassion, and they help us find our roots when often we forget our way. Through that long night, that Friday night, I prayed a lot. I prayed that those that lost their lives might be recovered and might be found. I was disappointed when it wouldn't happen. It would be 10 months later when 8 of 9 that were killed would be recovered through the heroic efforts of the Navy and the Japanese salvage forces. But one student, Takeshi Mitsugushi, remains lost at sea to this day. What sustained me in the aftermath of the ordeal? Certainly faith played an integral part of that. In what way? In several. In the times when it was so dark and it seemed that I was about to give up because of a lack of hope and extreme despair, the humiliation and the loss of pride and respect was so great that I thought there was no place to go. And in our lives when we seemed to have to find that one glimpse of hope and it fades away and we allow ourselves to open up to the grasp of Satan because we find that, he finds that weakness in our armor. We then can succumb to the wrong things. And I did just that at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning when I sat at the water's edge at Pearl Harbor where our home was located and I contemplated the unthinkable, and that was to take a dagger that had been given to me by a Russian naval officer the previous November and go inside and take the life of my then 13-year-old daughter, my wife, and my own. How is it possible an individual, intellectual, competitive, formerly at the top of his game, was now in the bowels of this great abyss? How is it possible? Because I had forgotten my way. I strayed from the path. It was at that point I said, God, please be in my life. Help me. I need you in my life, God. And suddenly near the Nevada Memorial, the flag calmed, the water calmed, the sky seemed to open, and I felt this incredible warmth and embrace. It was my answer to my prayers. I had the strength to get up, to go back inside, to get in bed with my wife, get up 2 hours later to go to St. George's Episcopal Church outside the gates of Hickam Air Force Base, where our pastor, Liz Beasley, had a sermon on why bad things happen to good people. It was at that point that I knew no matter what the personal cost to me, to my ego, my pride, set it aside, it didn't matter what I had accomplished and what I achieved, that failure was now behind me. I had one path to follow, and that was the path that God was showing me. My personal relationship with God started when I was 17 years old, a student at Forest Sherman's High School in Naples, Italy, riding a bus to Vicenza to play a football game. It was there I accepted God when a friend of mine showed me our daily bread. My relationship with God continued to grow through the years. There were times when I would waver, times when I'd walk away, times when I would forget. But all in all, in times of need, I always came back to Him. Where do you run when you need help? Where do you go when you need hope? You turn to Him. In the days that would pass the accident, I would meet with the Japanese families. One of the greatest challenges I would have would be to apologize to them, to try to breach the gap, not only of communications, but of culture, to show that my apology was sincere. When denied the opportunity to meet with them on that weekend when they started arriving in Hawaii, I knew there was only one other option I had. That was to write letters of apology. Jill, my wife, who's present with me today, helped me prepare those letters on fine parchment, seal them with wax, and bound in ribbon, they were delivered to the consulate general. And as he met with me in private, I bowed very deeply, a tear fell from my eye, and I felt a relief because I had started that first step of healing. That was to apologize, to atone for my sins. Regardless whether it was an action or not, 9 people had died. And in the days during the Court of Inquiry, I would meet with the Japanese family members. I would meet with them in private in the aftermath of the day's events and hear their pain, hear their tragedy, hear their stories, and understand the deepness of their despair. June Nakata's wife, one of the instructors, fell to her knees and showed me a picture of her 5-month-old baby or her 5-year-old child and said, I yearn to hear his voice. I yearn to hear my husband's voice crying out. I still don't hear it. He's gone. You've taken away the very thing that I love the most, and we have no income. We have no place to live. We're homeless. Look what you've done to our lives. You've destroyed it. How do you say I'm sorry? How do you pull from within? Through faith. By being compassionate. By being a man and woman of faith and a Christian. After the Court of Inquiry, when I testified and took great risk, knowing that what I said could ultimately result in me going to jail, I thank God for being with me each and every step. In the months that would pass, I would go to an admiral's mast and be found negligent in my duties of being a captain and intentionally hazarding my vessel, and would ultimately resign my commission and retire on October 1st with my pay and pension 19 days after 9/11. Very much alone at my mother-in-law's house, where I resided with Jill and Ashley for 10 months. And fellas, that's a long time. I would find myself in February 2002 asking God why this again happened to me, thinking that my life just was horrible, wearing my wife's pink terry cloth bathrobe and my daughter's Homer Simpson slippers with a cup of coffee watching the Today Show. And it's not a pretty picture, folks. I was about to give up when the phone rang, and it was Eric. It was my friend from Connecticut. Scott, how are you doing? How's your job search? I said, Eric, it's not going well. I've had a plan. I've prayed. He said, you've what? I said, I've prayed. I've asked God to bless my plan. He said, Scott, ask God what his plan is, because it's already been blessed. I did just that. In days that passed, I was granted an interview, found employment, moved to North Carolina, where we currently reside. And though we're miles away from our former island home, I find that with great pride and comfort, I've been welcomed into this fantastic church home. New hope has given me a sense of new hope on what it means to know God and to continue further and develop my relationship with Him. I'm honored to have been here today to share my story with you, to tell you that regardless of what your challenges are in life, your trials, your tribulations, your pains, your sorrows, share that with the Lord. Give Him your burden. Let Him carry it for you. My name is Scott Waddle. The message is failure's not final. Aloha.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Can You Hear Me Now? By Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.